Yes, he does. We can give thanks for that. Okay, let's talk about a few things for prayer. First of all, we need to be in prayer for Terry's, Hallett's dad. He's out of the hospital and all, and they think they've got everything okay. Went home with a lot of new blood, and he seems to be doing good. So please be in prayer for Johnny and Terry and the family. John Hintz is recovering from his fall, and just keep him in prayers. It'll take a while to get through, completely through the concussion and all the wounds. When we go to the pastor's conference, I say we, John Hintz and Jody Brown, we go through to the pastor's conference in Houston. We stay at an old friend of mine from Houston from way back in the 60s at Baraka named Gene Brown. And when we were there, he was doing very, very poorly, very thin. But now he is very close to being promoted home. And he has some children and family, so please be in prayer for Gene Brown and his family and all. They've transferred him from the hospital to a lung special place, and Providine said that's probably just procedure, not anything, because there's not much that's going to be able to help Gene Brown. And he's very thin, very weak. And so please be in prayer for Gene Brown's family. Jody Brown's wife, Kim, has just gone through a lot of problems in the last 4 days, 5 days since Friday, and had pneumonia, temperature 103. But today they've gotten the temperature down, gave her some medicine for the pneumonia, and she told Jody she wanted to go to work today and tomorrow, but I just don't think it's wise, but that's none of my business. And let's see. This weekend, I'm asking your personal prayers for Judith and family. Every year, she and the ladies in her family go on a retreat. No, it's not a retreat. And just a group of the ladies who go together. And so please be in prayer for their travel and mother there, and she comes home safely. And be in prayer for me. It's so funny. It's so interesting. My entire adult life, I've lived alone in the total dark. I love dark. And so I got married. And now when she leaves, I make sure the door to the bedroom is locked. The door over here is locked. The curtains are drawn. My .45 is on a pillow right beside me, loaded. And it is just so terrible. And she said the smartest thing in the world. She goes, "What do you think I'm going to do, protect you?" But I just feel comfortable when she's there. And when she's not now, it's freak out time. So please be in prayer for her and me. And any of my grandchildren that may try to slip in one night and I blow them away or something horrible. And
while Judith is gone, I'd like to invite you to McDonald's one day next week.
You're so thoughtful. Gee whiz.
Hey, you like Chick-fil-A.
So, please be in prayer for Judith and the ladies as they travel and while they're there and then they come back. Now, are there any other prayers? Yes. Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry.
Thanks for the prayers. My wife finally made it to Athens, Greece. Safe and sound. She's probably sleeping right now.
Well, she had to hang around an extra 4 hours in London.
And all the luggage was broken, so they had to take all the luggage off, change planes, and that's always problematic because you get another plane. Well, what's we got to tweak this, tweak that? Oh, this wasn't clean, and it's just a lot of different things. So
there was some kind of cleaning noise in the engine when the pilot struck. Couldn't figure that out. So, but well, we're thankful she made it. We're going to be a prayer that she has a safe time there and a safe return. When does she return?
She spends that in London, of all places.
Oh, my goodness, okay.
Just a few blocks from London, London Bridge.
Well, she needs to be careful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Needs to be careful.
And I got someone meeting her at the airport. We hired, you know, those people that have the signs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all right.
She's going to feel good.
Good, all right. You're a good husband. Very good. All right.
No, that's my wife when I'm gone. And I have to, if I come home early, I have to call, hey, it's me, don't do it.
Oh, any other prayer requests? Yes, Gigi.
One of the ladies, her husband, had to be rushed to the hospital. Suzanne Blackstone. I don't know her husband's name.
All right, when does he rush to the hospital? And do they know what the problem was?
Sent a quick note to, you know, pray for her husband.
Okay. Do you know if they're believers in Christ? Okay. Let's pray that God will fulfill his purpose, whatever the purpose is, and get him there. Okay, yes, Eve.
How about the men that were shot in Virginia?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need to be in prayer. You know, we have what we classify as terrorists. To me, you belong to an organization that says termination of all Republicans. That's terrorist. That is a terrorist organization, in my opinion. I mean, how more blatant can you get than that kind of a title? And but we're not going to do that. And so we definitely need to be in prayer for the families and the people that are there. Just as America's changed since the America that Jim Langston and I grew up in. It's just an entirely different America. Today, in 1923, President Harding was the first one to, first president to speak on a radio broadcast. Look how far we've gone in less than 100 years. Now they tweet them. Our president tweets, but how far we've gone in our society. Okay, yes.
Brian are in Mexico with the girls. So, prayer for their travel.
Absolutely. My goodness. What part of Mexico?
Cancun.
Yeah. All right. We'll be in prayer. Say, did they fly?
Mary and Brian left Sunday with Mackenzie and another couple and twins. And
they flew?
Yeah. And Riley and Ryan just left this afternoon.
Okay.
The dog, the cat.
Well, of course.
Well, aren't you the fortunate one?
So you guys want to have a party?
Eat all their food.
Well, we can all come over there and just have us a big, big party. Leave all the cans and the notes and the trash around.
Brian told me specifically where to put the trash, and he left me an ice chest beside the pool. I said, what do you want me to do that? He said, if you have somebody over here, put the drinks in here so you're not running in and out of the house.
All right. We lost it. It fell into the pool. We got rowdy, and then the ice chest fell in the pool. So we had to go to the house anyway. Okay, let's, yes.
Cindy Edwards is out here for Charlotte, her daughter, and her husband, Wes. Now, Wes is the one that had the migraine headaches.
Yes.
And he's considering another operation to try to get rid of those things. So pray about that, and that works out well.
Wow.
To make the right decision on what to do. And Charlotte for health, and they need it, and she needs a job.
Yeah. How's Cindy doing?
She's doing well. She's holding up well.
Okay.
She's the rock of that family.
She's a wonderful woman.
Yes.
Wonderful matriarch. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. In my study for this night, these classes on Wednesday night, I am ashamed, I really am, that the ascension of Christ is not given the place that it should be in sermons and messages. It's that place in the Bible, as I'll show you tonight. But the ascension of Christ is so vital. And, you know, we get so caught up in what happened today and the Republican baseball thing and what happens in London, what happens here. But people, we need to just find our solace, God's plan. That everything that God's done is for the glorification of Christ. And that includes ours if we understand the judgment seat of Christ. What's going to be the basis of our rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer for our study tonight. Let's pray. What a marvelous plan, Heavenly Father. God to become man. And this man served man by dying on a cross, taking care of the sins of the world and providing the way of the imputation of righteousness, buried, and then Heavenly Father overcoming death with His resurrection. And then Heavenly Father, the great event of His ascension, unbelievable event in Your plan. And we pray, Father, Your Spirit will open our eyes to things that You would have us to see and understand about the ascension of our Lord, anticipating and looking forward to our own ascension into heaven. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we've done Roman numeral 1, where we noted a description of ascension. And then Roman numeral 2, last week, the Greek words for ascension. And I was just astounded. 10 different Greek words dealing with ascension of Jesus Christ. And it just, as I said last week, and I want to say it again, it amazes me when people say, well, rapture's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. If you understand the definition of rapture and you understand Greek words, there lies the problem. People are ignorant of the original language. So it's there. And just like so many different words dealing with the ascension of Jesus Christ last Wednesday night, I appreciate your concentration. I know that that kind of a study, going through Greek words, is not generally favored upon, but you hung in there, and I think you saw the importance of that study. Now, Roman numeral 3, tonight. Jesus Christ was the first to ascend to the right hand of God the Father. Jesus Christ was the first to ascend to the right hand of God the Father. We have noted that Jesus Christ was the first to be resurrected from the dead. And now Jesus Christ is the first to experience an ascension to the right hand of God. How do we know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 13. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 13. It's no clearer than this. No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Can't be any clearer. Cannot be any clearer. He is the first to ascend into heaven at the right hand of God the Father. His descension, coming into earth from heaven, the incarnation, His miraculous birth in the little town of Bethlehem outside of Jerusalem. So Jesus Christ is the first to be resurrected from the dead and the first to ascend into heaven. Okay, very brief point compared to last week where we spent the whole hour on Roman numeral 2. Okay, point 4. Roman numeral 4. This one will take a few minutes. but it is such a wonderful journey we're getting ready to go on. Ascension of Jesus Christ revealed in the Old Testament. Ascension of Jesus Christ revealed in the Old Testament. Now, before we go into these passages, we're going to have a conversation. And that conversation deals with interpretation of Scripture. And I'm talking about here the ideal of messianic passages. There are a group of scholars in all denominations and all who do not believe in messianic Scripture. That is, that Old Testament passages are referring specifically to the Messiah. I personally believe not only are there messianic passages, I believe the whole Bible is a messianic book. I believe the whole Bible, Old Testament, is all designed for the glorification of Jesus Christ. And everything in it is designed for the coming and glory and ascension and session and second advent and glorification of Jesus Christ for all eternity. From the creation of the world, the universe, angelic creatures, man in the garden, all the history of man, to me, are all messianic centered. They're all about Jesus Christ. So, this is what you have to decide. Do you believe in messianic passages? They don't even believe Isaiah 53 is a messianic passage. To me, there are certain passages that are so obvious it defies any kind of rejection. Psalm 23, and it being the great shepherd psalm. But these people say no. This is about David. This is about this. This is about that. And they deny that there are passages referring to Satan. It's the king of Tyre. It's not Satan. It's the king of Tyre. Question, when did the king of Tyre ever was in a garden in heaven in history? Wasn't. Satan was as a created being. So these are passages. Who you listen to in the teaching of the Word of God is so important, their view of the Bible. And I'm just telling you that my view of the Bible is that there are messianic passages and that, again, this whole Bible leads to the glorification of Jesus Christ. Now, the first one we're going to look at, in fact, all of them are in what are called coronation psalms. If I have any regrets in my ministry, I did not follow through with what I wanted to do when I entered the ministry. When I was in seminary, I was so infatuated with the Psalms that I said to myself, I will always be in a psalm. And there are over 100 of them, so that would last my lifetime. And I am so sorry that I did not hold to that. The Psalms is an unbelievable journey of study. And it has a lot of difficulties in interpretation. You've got to understand who the antecedent of he and she and it and this and that. And it is just very difficult to do all of these things. And I'm very thankful. I know he's now no longer straight in his theology, but Dr. Bruce Walking was my Hebrew professor in studying of Psalms, and it was just a marvelous class. And he would give us assignments in the study of deciding how you determine who's the antecedent of the pronoun, and this type of thing. Now, you could do it one of two ways. One, you could go to the library and get out cheat books that have all the work done for you. Or two, you could sit there and take about, and I'm not exaggerating, people, 4 to 5 hours per assignment, but you figured out grammatically in the Hebrew how you determine these things. And I'm so thankful. And a group of us were dedicated to doing that, and then we would meet in the morning, and I'll never forget that we met over in the little lounge. It was a room smaller than this room, believe it or not, at seminary, They had a coffee pot over here and some donuts over there. And they would have coffee and donuts, and I would have Coca-Cola and Doritos. And they thought I was totally sick. But we would talk. Well, how did you get this? Well, how would it? And we just, not only did we do the work, but we interacted, and then we went to class and interacted with Dr. Walke. So let's turn to the first psalm dealing with the ascension of Christ, Psalm 24, a coronation psalm. Psalm 24. Now, many people are familiar with Psalm 23. But people, let me tell you, Psalm 24 is beautiful. Psalm 23, glorify Jesus Christ as the shepherd from the standpoint of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, and so forth. But people, Psalm 24 glorifies Jesus Christ as the King of glory, who is worthy to enter into the presence of God Himself. So let's take a look at the great coronation psalm and see how we're going to make our way through it. And the first thing we're going to do, it's not that long, we're going to read it, and then we're going to go back and examine especially the important part. Psalm 24, and again, this is one of those psalms, you know, you'll recognize the ending of it, but the whole psalm is so beautiful, even compared to Psalm 23. The earth is the Lord's, and all it can, by the way, Psalm of David is in the Hebrew. So this is a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend, there's our word, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of His salvation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Thy face, even Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I had in my mind, I'd heard that in Handel's Messiah, but I couldn't find the rendition that was in my mind. James got me one, and I listened to a couple others. And if I'd have found the one that just was, to me, so powerful in Handel's Messiah, we were going to have it after we finished Psalm 24 tonight. But you're spared because we're not going to, I couldn't find it. Okay, let's go back to our study. Verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now, taking in consideration verses 1 and 2, the question arises, who then shall ascend? Meaning, who is qualified to ascend into His heavenly and holy presence? With the magnificence of the earth, who is qualified to go into the heavens, into the throne of God? This should bring to mind, those of you that studied with me, Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Now, look at verses 1. Revelation 1, the glorification of Christ. Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches. Revelation 4 opens up the scene into heaven. And chapter 5 deals with the seal of the book. Okay. And I saw, Revelation 5, 1, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, that's God the Father, a book written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" Who is worthy? And I'm going to tell you, the answer to this question is the same answer to the question in Psalm 24. That is, Son of God, Jesus the Christ, the Lion, the tribe of Judah. Now let's just complete reading a few verses in Revelation 5, verse 3, verse 2 now. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven, or on the earth, or under the earth, was able to open the book, or to look into it. And I began to weep greatly, because no one was found worthy to open the book, or to look inside. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." Now let's turn back to Psalm 24. Go back to Psalm 24 now. So, who's worthy to open that book? Who's worthy now on earth to ascend into the right hand of God the Father? So verse 3 of Psalm 24, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord?" The Hebrew word translated ascend, I won't get involved in the Hebrew, but the Hebrew word means referring to upward motion, higher than the earth in our context. That's what's implied here, the ascending. Into the hill of the Lord. Okay, first thing we've got to do, identify the Lord. Who is the Lord? This is a reference to God the Father. This is a reference to God the Father sitting at behind those ancient doors. While Jesus Christ is the answer to the question as declared at the end of the psalm. But right here in verse 3, it is God the Father. And at the end we will see who is this will be, who's worthy. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. Now, there, the word Lord refers to Jesus Christ. He is the King of Glory. But the second line in verse 3 assures us this is referring to the throne of God the Father. And who may stand in His holy place? This is not the temple in Jerusalem. This is a higher rank. And we know that by the description at the end of the psalm. So, verse 3 now, Psalm 24. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's qualified? Who is worthy to ascend off earth into the presence of the Lord, God the Father? Who may stand in His holy place, the throne of God? Verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive. And people, this is no human being, no ordinary human being. This is the Son of God. Verse 5, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord. If we had time, I'd show you Isaiah 53, the 12th verse, where God the Father was pleased to crush him, but is going to bless him with many blessings. This is what is being referred to here. And righteousness from the God of his deliverance, not salvation. The Hebrew word means salvation or deliverance. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors. This isn't the temple. This is in heaven. That the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? Who is the one worthy to enter? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So the word Lord refers to God the Father. The word Lord refers to Jesus Christ. Okay. The next place we see the ascension of Jesus Christ is portrayed in one of the most declarative places in the entire Bible, that Jesus Christ is God. Psalm 47. Open your Bibles to Psalm 47. Now, it's not very long, so let's just read so we get a grasp of what's going on in this psalm. Oh, for the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with a voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared. What we see Sunday in wisdom. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's wisdom. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves. Now look at verse 5. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. He's God. He's King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Okay, now, we've read it. Now let's take a look at it, get an understanding of what's going on. Verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4, I want you to note carefully. Verse 2, where we just saw in our study in wisdom literature that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Then note in verse 3, our, in contrast with the nations. Our, Jews, contrast with the nations, Gentiles. Next we have his ascension. Verses 1 through 4 deal with is developing the nation of Israel. Now we come to verse 5. We have the ascension. After providing the way to eternity with God, he returns to his heavenly abode. Verse 5. God has ascended with a shout. The Lord in the midst of the sound of the trumpet. Of a trumpet. The Hebrew word used here for ascended is the same one we had in Psalm 24, to go to a higher place than earth. Then in verse 6, is the second advent, he and his rule in the millennial kingdom. And note the exhortation to sing praises. Let's just see how this is going to flow now. Verse 5. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King. He comes back to rule. Sing praises. For God, Jesus Christ, is the King of all the earth, millennial reign. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. We know there are going to be nations in the millennium. There'll be the kingdom. There'll also be nations. There'll be Jerusalem, but there'll be nations of Gentiles throughout the earth. Verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God sits on the holy throne. Now we're back at Jerusalem. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of God of Abraham. The princes refers to Jews. For the shields of the earth belong to the Lord, to God. He is highly exalted. Now, 5 through 9, we have, I want you to look at, what we have, look at verse 1. Clap your hands. Shout. Then in beginning in verse 6, sing praises to Him. Note the reference to Jesus Christ. God. Verse 2, Lord Most High, referring to Jesus Christ. Verse 5, God ascends. Verses 6 and 7, both God and King. So this is the story of the ascension of our Savior, beautifully laid out in a beautiful psalm. Okay, the next one. The next reference is the ascension of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. It is, and we have New Testament proof that we're on the right track here. Look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68. This time, if you want proof, I'll have it in the New Testament. Okay, Psalm 68. Let's look at verse 18 to begin with. You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men. That's mistranslated. Even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there. Okay. First thing, I just want to clear the deck. The word for the ascension is the same word we've had in the other two Psalms, moving up to a higher place. Now, verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 68, God's division of the human race exalts God, who saves the righteous and casts his enemies away. So let's look at verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 68. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. The wisdom of man, being wise, have become fools. Bernie Sanders was castrating a Christian. It's on YouTube. Because he believed in condemnation. And Sanders got so upset. You mean all the Muslims are condemned? The man just said, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm just giving you the standpoint of a Christian. Do you realize there are X number of millions of Muslims in this country, and you're saying they're all condemned? What about Jews? Are you saying they're condemned? And he stuck his guns. He said, I'm just saying the Bible declares. Well, it frustrated Sanders so much. Well, I'm through with you. This is not American. And got all upset about it. Well, read verse 2 again. And wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. Verse 3. But let the righteous be glad. Now, who are the righteous? Those are the ones who are imputed righteousness when they believe in Jesus Christ throughout all history, Old Testament or New Testament. Be glad. Well, let's be glad. First of all, you don't perish away. Let them exalt before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God. Sing praises to His name. And I'm sorry, God is not going to condemn me because I don't sing on tune. I'm singing praises to Him. And that's what He asked me to do. And that's what I will continue to do, is sing praises. It may not enlighten James or people's ears in the world, but that's what we're going to do. Sing praises to God. Sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Cast up on a highway for Him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord. Exalt before Him. So this is the first thing. Now verse 5. A father of the fatherless, a judge for the widows. Is God in His holy habitation? God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Now, verses 7 through 10. His call and the bringing into existence His people from which the Messiah would come into their land. His own people taken to their land. The Messiah will come from these people. Let's read 7 through 10. See how this flows for you. 7 through 10. O God, when Thou didst go forth before Your people, when Thou didst march through the wilderness, that's crossing the Dead Sea, going into the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself quaked at the presence of God. Remember when Moses went up on the mountain? The God of Israel, Thou didst shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. Thou didst confirm Thine inheritance when it was parched. Thy creatures settle in it. Thou didst provide in Thy goodness for the poor, O God. Now, verses 11 through 14. This follows the next segment of Jewish history. Fear of the judges. Although His people failed, He blessed them victoriously over Gentile nations. Look at verse 11. The Lord gives the command, the women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host. Kings of armies flee. They flee. And she who remains at home will divide the spoil. When you lie down among the sheepfolds, you are like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and its pinions with glittering gold, glistening gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings, there it was snowing in Solomon. Now, we come to verses 15 through 18, where we have a comparison between His earthly dwelling and then His glorious dwelling in heaven. So we have this comparison. Let's follow verses 15 through 18. Verse 15. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. Just so you'll know, Bashan is a mountain range. Well, where's my map? Anyway, it's a mountain range. It fears the Sea of Galilee, the mountain range. If you go westward, that whole area is the whole area of Bashan. Some people want to know if it covers all the mountains or the valleys or what it covers, but that's the region of Bashan. Okay. A mountain of God is a mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you look with envy, O mountains with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired for His abode? Surely the Lord will dwell there forever. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as Sinai in holiness. Thou hast ascended on high. Okay. Thou hast ascended on high. In verses 15 through 18, we have his now moving into his new dwelling place. Verse 15, our passage now, in verse 18, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captive thy captives. Thou hast received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, this is proof we're on the right track. How do I know that? Look at verse 18 now. You, Lord, contextually Jesus Christ, have ascended on high. This refers to the glorious ascension of Jesus Christ from the sanctuary on earth to the glorious sanctuary in heaven. You have led captive your captives. What does this refer? It is here that we learn from the New Testament that verse 18 is referring to the ascension of Jesus the Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You're getting ready for a great surprise in understanding how to interpret Scripture. Ephesians 4. How do you know all of these are referring to Jesus Christ? I don't believe in all of that. Well, first of all, I can't make you believe in Messianic Psalms. If you don't want to see it, you don't see it. But this one's easy, because this one we have proof of. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 8. Therefore, it, Old Testament, Psalm, says, when he, now there is no doubt that this refers to Jesus Christ in context, ascended on high. Old Testament or New Testament, this refers to the throne of God. Now we have the phrase, he led captives, a host of captives. Now, who are these captives? Who are they? People, these are Old Testament saints who, when Jesus Christ ascended, he took all Old Testament believers with him into heaven. So this refers to Jews, Gentiles. Now, the question arises, why are they called captives in the passage? The reason is because Jesus, let's first of all start, whose kingdom is this? This is Satan's kingdom. This is Satan's world. Jesus Christ, the strong one, came into Satan's kingdom and took captives out of Satan's kingdom, kingdom of darkness, and rescued all those who would believe in him out of Satan's kingdom of darkness, as captives, taken out. Now, what about this next phrase? And he gave gifts to men. Okay. Stay in context. Stay in context. Look at verse 7 in context. But to each one of us, believers, in the church age, you and I, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, starting with the sending of the Holy Spirit. That's what this starts with. So, Ephesians chapter 4 validates that this is referring to Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven. They didn't know about the church age. They didn't understand it at all. Therefore, we've got to do a little work. Let's go back to Psalm 68 now. Psalm 68, verse 18. You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. First, when he ascended on high, you will notice that not one of these Psalms of the Ascension even mention his death, his resurrection. The primary emphasis on these is only his ascension from earth to heaven. and how so many things changed in history due just to the ascension of our Savior. So many things changed in people's lives due to His crucifixion, due to His resurrection. But due to His ascension, history changed. And this is why. You have received gifts among men. Now I'm going to tell you what it says in the Hebrew. You have received gifts for men. Not among men. You have received gifts for men. Men refers, without them knowing it, to church age believers. So what does it mean? He will receive gifts for men. What does that mean? Look at John 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Sometimes when you put something into a context of history, it just jumps out. We study John 14 verse by verse. Sometimes it's just great to look at a passage and out of the context of that, to go verse by verse, but putting in context of history, of what all is happening. And we do that with verse 16 now, 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, wow, when? After the ascension. After the session. Seated at the right hand of God. And look at the first thing he will do. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. That's the first gift. Another helper. The Holy Spirit. That He may be with you forever. I don't like the word helper. Paraclete. It's the Holy Spirit. Another just like me. Deity. Only don't look for a human being. Verse 17. That is the Spirit. It's not going to be a man like me. It's going to be the Spirit. Be a deity, but Spirit. I'm deity. He will be deity. Another like me, deity. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's one thing. That's one of those gifts. Let me show you something else in the time we have left. Look at the Lord's Prayer, John 17. John 17. Now I'm going to skip through this. It'd be beautiful just to read it, but I want you to highlight these ideas that we're looking at. John 17, 1 and 2. These things Jesus spoke, lifting up His eyes to heaven. Don't ever wonder why you should pray. Jesus Christ prayed all the time. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that the Son may glorify Thee, even as Thou gavest Him authority over all mankind. That is, to all whom Thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. There's another gift. The Holy Spirit, eternal life. Look at verses 7 through 9. Now, they have come to know that everything Thou hast given Me is from Thee. For the words which Thou gavest Me, I have given them. Oh, there's more. Doctrine, the Word of God. It's another gift. And they receive them and truly understand that I came forth from Thee. That's what you and I do. And they believed that Thou didst send Me. Verse 9, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. Now look at verse 11. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. By application, refers to you and me. They themselves are in the world, and I came to thee, Ascension. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Look at verse 13. But now I come to thee, this is Jesus Christ talking to God the Father on our behalf. I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy, may fall in themselves, and have his joy, his word, his eternal life, his spirit. Here we have his joy made full. All right? Verse 13, 14, 15. Verse 13, but now I come to thee, Ascension, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I came down from the world. Where's our birth? Our birth is in heaven. Our birth is not here. Our birth is in heaven. We all have fun. Where were you born? Born here, born. But where were we really born? Born in heaven. Philippians teaches our citizenship is in heaven. See? So verse 14 says, I, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. That is from Satan. Look at verse 17. Another gift. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification. More yet of what he's given to us. Look at verses 19 and following. And for their sakes, I, Jesus, and for their, that you and I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for all those who believe in me through their word. That takes it down through the church age history, you and I. That they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. There's another gift. He's given us his glory, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, it's a gift from him, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love me, even as thou, or didst love them, even as thou loved me. Father, here's Jesus Christ speaking, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That's for all eternity now. In order that they may behold my glory. This is how we're going to spend eternity. What's eternity like? We're going to be with him, beholding his glory, which thou hast given me, for thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known me, not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that thou didst send me, incarnation. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. Ever lose anything, need anything, they're going to be thankful for. Just read Psalm 17. Read Psalm 4, John 14 and John 17. You'll find much to be thankful to God for. For all that he has given to us. Let's close in prayer. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We know you because we know your Son. Your Son has revealed you to us. Our wealth is learning more and more about Him. Our advancement in life is learning more and more about Him. Our hope, our joy, our peace is knowing more and more about Him. The hope of glory in Jesus Christ in us. Father, I pray you take the things we've seen tonight. Use these things to bring honor and glory to Christ. Pray that they may settle in our souls first, and then in our lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name, and for His glory. Amen.